What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
$3,005,509 is where we are at so far on day two of the 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. That comes from the generosity of the Hale family, from BJ's, and from all of you out there donating toll-free at 877-738-1234, online, jimmyfund.org. And you can also text to give any amount. Text KCANCER to 56512. Very, very impressive pacing. We want to keep that going here on day two. Jones and Keefe live at Fenway Park. And we are joined right now by Rosemary Conway and Dr. Dave Barbee. Guys, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Rosemary, yesterday we said, Keefe, you get something new every year on the telethon.
That's true.
Today we got something new. We've never been given a gift here. As Keith is displaying on twitch.tv/boss.
From the White Ribbon Project. Very nice. We can display this in the studio when we get back.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
For sure.
Very nice.
So, Rosemary, thank you for bringing that in today.
You're welcome.
What can you tell us and share with us today about your story and why you're here on day two of the telethon?
I'm here because I'm a huge advocate for research and clinical trials for lung cancer, because when I was diagnosed 8 years ago, I was told there wasn't a treatment for the kind of lung cancer that I had. So I had multiple surgeries, chemotherapy, and the cancer returned. And I was told clinical trials is really the only option for you at this point. And as we know, with funding cut at the federal level, there's the danger that we're not going to have as much clinical trials. And I've been very fortunate that through Dana-Farber, I've been able to be in clinical trials. The first two failed me. The third one had some nasty side effects, but I'm in the fourth one, going strong. I'm 20 months, and the cancer is stable. Dr. Barbee is my physician. And if it weren't for research and clinical trials and the funding for research that we so desperately need, I wouldn't be here today.
What was your reaction going all the way back to 2017 when you were diagnosed as a non-smoker, finding out that you had lung cancer? What was your reaction to it, and then what was your first steps after?
At first, it was total disbelief because I lived a healthy lifestyle. I was working full-time as a speech pathologist in the public schools. I had no symptoms at all. So it was just disbelief. This can't be happening. And then I just kind of went into action mode. Okay, what do we do to get rid of it? And that's when I met my surgeon and we started going with surgeries. And you never really have a chance to process through what's happening to you because you're taking care of what's next. Okay, after surgery, then what do I do? After the next surgery, then what I do, and totally advocating for what you think is right, and researching like crazy on the internet for what everything means as you come to try to understand this entire new language wrapped around, you know, lung cancer.
Dr. Barbee, I want to ask you, and Rosemary mentioned a couple of different times, the impact at the federal level with lack of funding there. How does that impact what you do? How does that impact patients like Rosemary?
Yeah, I think many of us in academia not only see patients, but we also run research laboratories or do clinical research. And that really allows us to specialize. You know, as many oncologists in the community are taking care of patients every day, and you don't really focus on one cancer. And so we have the good fortune of being able to do that. And a lot of that is through additional resources other than just seeing patients and generating clinical revenue. It's through very generous philanthropy, but most importantly, earning through grants, mainly through the NIH is one of the main sources, but there's also a number of foundations that are also sources of funding for us.
Rosemary, what can you tell us about some of the support groups you're involved in and how important those are?
early on in my cancer diagnosis, all I wanted to do was meet another human being that was living with lung cancer. And believe it or not, 8 years ago, that was not an easy thing to do. Once COVID started and there was Zoom support groups, Longevity started having these Zoom support groups, and I became an active member in those groups. And it helped me tremendously because all of a sudden I had people to talk to who were going through similar types of either treatments or scenarios regarding their lung cancer. Even though everybody's lung cancer is different and the treatments are very different, it helped so much to know that you could share how you were feeling and, you know, commiserate about side effects and everything else with a group like that. And I, to this day, I still go to the Longevity support groups. They're all Zoom. And also Live Lung is another organization that supports patients and caregivers with lung cancer. And they actually do trainings and retreats for patients and caregivers that are phenomenal. The White Ribbon Project, I've been part of it through day one. Whenever there's a build in our area, which isn't too often, I do try to attend. And I'm big into like the early screening initiative with ELSI, the American Lung Cancer Screening Initiative program with the college students. And recently I was just on a podcast with them to talk about lung cancer awareness, early screening, the importance of research, and how all you need are lungs to get lung cancer.
So she's a pro. She's been you're doing podcasts, you're doing radio, you're doing it all. Well, we're happy that you're doing well. We're happy for all the awareness that you're raising, staying involved, and the funds that are getting generated here today continue to contribute. You hear where that money's going? 877-738-1234. Online, jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. Rosemary, Dr. Barbie, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having
sharing
me.
With us and telling your story, because that that really does help that number over there and some of the funds raised over 23 years. We will roll on here on Jones and Keefe, day two of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by Arbella Insurance. Every gift, no matter the size, does make a difference in the lives of adults and children being treated at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. 87 cents on every dollar raised supports patient care and research for children and adults at Dana-Farber. So please continue to give there. We will continue here. We'll talk to Rob Bradford coming up at 10:30. We're going to check in with June and also Dr. Matalonis. That's coming up right after A Trending with Nick.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.